This is John's Gem number 75, based on chapter 18 and verse 10. It is about Malchus. There was a brief clash of swords, which must have been a dangerous business in the dark. As a result, one of the temple servants loses a bit of his ear. We read, Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. This leads to the rebuke by Jesus of Peter, who was acting, true to his usual nature, with unwanted impetuosity. Jesus commanded Peter, Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? The most extraordinary thing about that statement is that John has told us what the name of the wounded man was. Very few people, except the apostles and a few of the closest women to the group, are named by John or any of the other gospel writers. John names some apostles, some women, Nicodemus, Lazarus, and Joseph of Arimathea. Elsewhere, we hear about blind Bartholomew, and that's about it. Why, then, do we know the name of Malchus? There would seem to be only two possibilities. First, John, or the person who may have told him all about what happened that night, knew his name, because they were obviously closely acquainted with the members of the senior households. Or, secondly, Malchus was a well-known person later in the story of the early church, and although he must have been distinctly old by the time John was writing, was sufficiently important to merit this mention. Of these possibilities, only the second would seem at all likely. Why would John mention the name if Malchus was only a servant in the governor's household 40 or 50 years earlier? He would be of no importance to John's original readers, and the fact that Jesus healed his ear was only one of many such healings. No, it is a safe guess that Malchus became a Christian and of sufficient stature in the very early church to be mentioned by name. What are we to make of that? Two things come to mind. First, that no one is excluded from the fellowship of the kingdom, and therefore of the church. They weren't in those early days, and they should not be now. There can be problems in some cultures, where if any stranger comes into a church meeting, there is always a concern that there may be a spy sent in to see who is involved. It is impossible to set down any guidelines as to what should be done in such cases. The people involved can only use their best wisdom in what they do. But they must be careful not to exclude any genuine person. The second thing is this. It is you and I who must ensure that no one is excluded who should not be. It is a difficult trap. The closer the fellowship in a particular meeting of the Lord's people, the easier it is to overlook the stranger, the incomer, the new convert. It is so easy to let them stand round the edges of the group, while all the close friends talk together in a close-knit huddle. Only by having some whose duty it is to look out for such people is it possible to make sure that all are drawn into the centre of the fellowship. Watch out for it in your church. It will be surprising and good if you cannot see it happening.